Hi, I'm Tom Newell. Welcome to Family Sports Life Today. We're bringing together parents, coaches, and athletes to talk about having a better sports experience, better family connections, and a better sports life for our kids.
And I'm Coach Guy Perry, and whether we're talking about elementary, middle school, or high school sports, whether you're an experienced coach or just getting involved with your kids' team, Family Sports Life Today is the place to talk about sports and learn. Today we'll talk about habits and shortcuts, and how parental overcommitment, technology distractions such as MySpace, video games, and cell phones are creating suspect work habits and ill-conceived shortcuts to succeed in an activity.
This segment is related to the issues at hand with high school basketball, boys and girls. Guy, the thing that really stands out in my mind for high school players today is that there's a real fine line between the kids that have made a commitment and the kids that are just happy to be there. Kind of like, you know, it's grand, but you want me to do what? And so they pick and choose when they're going to put forth the effort, and they pick and choose whether they're going to commit to the activity on their own. And even in a game, I've seen kids, you know, come to life when they have the ball and just, you know, might as well give them a camera and let them take pictures, because you just stand there on offense and defense and do nothing for the team. Do you agree?
I do agree. And the kids that don't make the commitment, that don't want to make the commitment, are, they seem self-serving to me. They show up because it's cool to be in the gym sitting on the bench with a gym full of packed friends. But when it comes to doing the work to get out on the floor, they're not really there for their teammates. It really boils down to me, sense of loyalty to the activity, to the people who are performing the activity with you. Basketball team, everybody's got to be loyal to one another. Everybody's got to play for the benefit of one another. And if you get one or two people that aren't committed to doing that and they're there for the show, then your team's going to be a little bit more dysfunctional.
Well, that's a good point. Well, you know, I think there's some outside influences today that kids are facing that when you and I were participating in high school athletics, that wasn't there before.
I mean, MySpace?
MySpace. Yeah, MySpace.com. You want to talk about the most negative influence in youth sports today, beginning in the seventh grade. And I hear even sixth graders, too, are on MySpace.com, but really beginning in the seventh and eighth grade prior to entering high school and interscholastic sports tryouts, is the fact that kids are posting pictures of themselves, you know, playing the game, the activity. Also pictures at parties, okay, summer fun, and what have you, and not realizing the impact, the implications of putting that information and putting themselves on record, you know, before everybody, and that it can be archived and come back later and what have you. And how does that relate to sport? Well, I look at it this way, is that it's another distraction. You know, they start out in the fourth and fifth grade or third grade, and they're already DVDs, you know, and as parents we get to screen the DVDs, you know, mm-hmm, what they watch. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to watch R-rated, you know, Charlotte's Web, you know, any Disney animation, okay, or Star Wars, you know, trilogy, whatever, you know, we'll accept that. But what happens is that turns over from DVDs, now they get cell phones. You know, we've got kids in the fourth grade have cell phones. Now, I'm a big believer, especially with the creeps that are out there today, that kids should have access to a cell phone, all right? Because there's a separation from parents, and there's a separation of supervision, and having a cell phone that can be tracked now by the technology in the heavens, okay, we might be able to locate our children quicker, okay? So I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. As long as the kids take responsibility to charge the batteries and they understand that they only get, you know, a couple hundred minutes a month, okay? There's some kids that use that in 5 minutes. But anyway, by texting, I mean. So now they get to the seventh and eighth grade, and it's gone beyond, okay, just the normal DVDs and GameStation and PlayStation. Now the kids are getting into sharing information. Think of the impact of that. Man, I tell you what, I would not want anybody to see my skinny head, okay? As a kid, when I was 13, 14 years old, I weighed 150 pounds, you know, and my nickname was Noodles. And the last thing I'd want to do is put a picture of myself online, on the internet, at a beach during the summer. You know, I mean, I look like a snow geese without feathers. So now the problem that you have is that kids are coming to practice and they're talking. I mean, it's the most amazing thing to me. And you know, please chime in. The most amazing thing to me is that kids are coming to practice, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and they're talking about, did you see so-and-so on MySpace? Did you da-da-da-da? And it just isn't the kids at school. They're talking about kids at other schools in the region. Okay?
And then kids in another state.
Exactly. Then I find out they're professional basketball players that also have their own MySpace.com site.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about, in their, you know, Ebonic language, talk about what, you know, what's going on, you know, in their lives, and have pictures of the party and what have. And so I'm just, you know, and parents don't have control over that. They don't have control over the information anymore. Okay, and so you have a problem that's arisen now that parents realize, okay, that they really don't have a pulse. It isn't a question of a stethoscope, okay, to see if the heart's beating. Trust me, the heart is beating fast in their kids. There's a high anxiety out there, and the last thing they want to happen is for a parent or parents to know or even enter into their realm of the information that they're taking in right now. And it's scary.
When kids make it as confusing as possible, because they've got the cell phone, they've got the text messaging,
yeah,
they've got their own email account, and they've got MySpace, where, you know, a lot of the things that they say about themselves are not truthful.
Right.
So they're online deceiving everybody that doesn't know them. Anybody right. that comes across their MySpace, it's, say, from New York, they're, wow, that's a really cool person. Well, that's not the person.
Exactly.
It's not the real person.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of deception going on out there. I think that, in my mind, it seems rather unhealthy to me. I'm not here trying to preach anything, but no. The reality of it is there's a lot of deception on MySpace.
Well, there has to be a better education of the kids and the internet and information that's available.
And the parents. I don't think parents understand the impact of MySpace.
I guarantee you, most parents would not know how to access MySpace.com.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and understand the implications. When I have my camps in the summer, going on 4 years now in Seattle, ages 7 to 16, I ask the kids, how many of you have a MySpace.com account? Okay, between the ages of 7 and 9, there's maybe out of 20, 30 kids, maybe 10 hands went up. Ages 10 to 16, all right, better than 90% raised their hands that had a MySpace.com account. Then I asked the question of those older kids, how many of you know whether or not your parents know you have a MySpace.com account? The majority of them laughed. And I said, okay, come on, your parents aren't here, raise your hands. 80% said the parents did not know that they had a MySpace.com account. So then that flips it to where if you have a 10-year-old that is linking to others, and just like you say, they're role-playing, okay, and I heard a story of an 11-year-old, you know, making believe that she was a college freshman.
Right. Right.
You know, and getting into, you know, the language and the lingo and the jive and whatever. And her older sister, who was only a senior in high school, catching her online, instant messaging, a 17-year-old boy, you got a problem, a serious problem. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it just, how does this relate to sports? Well, I think what's happened in youth sports today, as far as high school, I think there's been a regression, a degeneration of values. I think there's been a compromise in making commitment to getting better. I think there's just a very handful, select group of male and female student athletes that really get it, that understand values and understand making sure that they practice to improve. And if they improve, then the team improves. And in that model, it takes away the burden of guilt that the coach feels that he, you know, is failing because these kids aren't getting better. Kids don't care anymore. You know, the kids are playing so many games today. Now, I'll give you an example.
Oh, you're right about the games, yeah. Practicing bad habits.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Kids are playing 80 to 90 games, AAU games in basketball today. All right? In grade 7, 8, sometimes in high school they play 60 to 70. Okay? Where is the value of winning and losing when you play that many games? There isn't any, because they're just playing. They're not practicing.
And how do you get better playing when you're using the wrong skill sets, or you've got weak skill sets that you're making even weaker by playing game after game after game?
Right. And yet parents will continue to invest money for private training, for select team travel, thousands of dollars. Because your kids are going to go to North Carolina, or they're going to go to Florida, or they're going to go to Indiana.
And play in a game where they're going to practice bad habits.
Exactly. And play three games in one day. And they know that their son or daughter stays up until the wee hours playing video games. Okay? The rule should be that if the kids play on a select team, take all handheld games, take cell phones, and take the iPod away from them, and they might get their sleep the night before they have a game. But if you were to take those elements away, if you were to take those material things away from the kids, oh, I'll tell you what, you'd have a holy uprising. Absolutely, there'd be a mutiny.
So they're traveling all the way across country, playing North Carolina in games, maybe two in a day, that uh-huh. they're fatigued because they stayed up late the night before.
Absolutely.
Which increases the chance of injury?
Getting injured, failure, adversity, and mom and dad aren't up in the stands to watch because dad's got to work and there's three other siblings at home and mom doesn't dare leave them with anybody, plus a dog to feed.
So why do parents set their kids up this way? Because it's sexy for them to be out running around playing games, because games are a lot more exciting than practice.
Well, there's an expectation level that parents have today when it comes to select sports, okay? Nowhere else in the world are there other resources such as we have here in the United mm-hmm. States. Nowhere else in the world will you find select programs in volleyball, in swimming, in tennis, in hockey, in basketball, all right? Baseball,
all right?
The only one that there isn't is football. If you think about it, I mean, that's the most sterile, you know, year-round activity you can imagine. You play football for 3 months, and then you lift weights, if that's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so you can always tell football players in high school, you know, they're overweight in most cases, okay, but they're getting stronger, all right, and either O-lineman or defensive lineman. If they're a halfback, they're playing on the basketball team. The quarterback, they're playing basketball. Okay, and
exactly,
baseball.
Exactly right.
All right, so you know what you have to understand is at where's the impact of influence for investing so much money in private training? Because I tell you, in basketball today, the real danger is that when you pay money for a private trainer in basketball, boy or girl, they're going to tell you that in order for them. They have great skills and they have great opportunities. In order for them to be discovered by college coaches, they need to play in these AAU tournaments. So enter a parent who doesn't know anything about basketball and AAU, but the child is playing basketball because their best friend is doing it. And so they're playing together. And so mom likes that because now they can carpool. okay? Mm-hmm. Dad likes it because, well, he or she has an interest in this activity. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And so they will promote it. They will support it. They will invest in it. But they're getting information, the wrong information that's telling them, hey, you might get a scholarship out of this investment of thousands of dollars, you know, by the time they're a senior. Well, you know what? I guarantee you we'll have people on radio that will tell us, okay, online, that will tell us that, you know, I spent $25,000 over 4 years in a travel program believing that my son was going to play college basketball and get a scholarship, and that I would be absolved from having to pay tuition. And that, to me, was a big carrot that I really liked. The unfortunate thing was, is the big carrot, he wasn't a rabbit. He didn't like carrots. The reality came back. The child failed, didn't get a scholarship offer, all right, and went on to college.
Or lost interest in the sport.
But went on to college and played intramurals and mm-hmm. had a very happy yeah. life. And Dad was just sitting there wondering, why did I spend that money? Why did I listen to those people? And that's what we're about. We're trying to help parents right now understand the value, all right, of their invested money, and understanding also the time disconnection from the activity that their kids have for the discipline that goes into basketball training mm-hmm. or soccer or baseball or whatever, because of the influence of music, the influence of you know, text messaging, the influence of DVDs.
You know, it's easy. It's easy to play full court. That's the shortcut, what we were just talking about. The real way to do it is with the individual training. How many kids have you had that, you know, you're going to individually work out, and after about 3 weeks, you know, their parent calls you and says, you know what, you've done a really good job with our son, Tom, but, you know what, I think we're going to join this AAU team because he wants to play. He wants to play. There's a shortcut. He doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't have great footwork.
Right.
He's not on balance when he plays.
Right.
He doesn't know defensive principles. He doesn't have the philosophy or the mental makeup of the
right.
game, but yet he's going to go play. Well, I think that's setting people up to succeed. And only the kids at the highest level, the very unique, special players, and we know who they are that come out of high school.
Sure.
Those are the kids that should be playing AAU and going to the summer peach jam
right.
in Atlanta
right.
or whatever.
Yeah. The Brockmans, the Hawes.
Yeah.
You know. Kids like
those
that,
are
yeah.
very special, but how many of those, like you were saying, there are very few of those kinds of kids.
Absolutely. But you know what? Their commitment was made early. They put a value on practice time.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and
absolutely.
So the parents, you know, recognized that, and it wasn't so much they fed it, they supported it in the right way and got them to the activity and picked them up.
And they're halogens.
That's right. That's right. Now, what did I mean by halogen? Tom has his philosophy on players today. They're either a 30-watt bulb, a 60-watt bulb, or a halogen, okay? Now, we all know that a halogen light, it takes a little while for it to warm up, okay? And then when it does, that whole room is illuminated by the brightness of that light. Now, a 30-watt bulb basketball player, in my mind, is one that just is very narrow in their understanding of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they exercise in the activity for themselves, okay? But to set a screen, to talk on defense, to do the other integral part of making
they're not quite students of the game.
No, and they could care less, and that's mm-hmm. all right,
mm-hmm.
okay? In elementary and middle school, it's not acceptable in high school.
Right.
And then you have the 60-watt where they get it a little bit, all right, and so their vision isn't so narrow on the court. They do make an effort to play, but they're not going to get any better. And they don't work on the game,
mm-hmm.
okay, at all. And you've got to repeat yourself over and over again coming out of a timeout where they're supposed to be, you know, because they can't visualize very well. Not that it's their fault. It's just that really isn't something that they're given over to naturally. But now you get that exceptional, okay, athlete, basketball player, male, female, that's that halogen, okay?
Or
it takes a while.
Or any sport.
Right. It takes a while for them to warm up. which it should. What you want to do is you want to help those athletes understand they got to visualize better before they get on the practice field so that the switch goes on when they're putting the sneakers on and they're changing and getting ready to go practice or play.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they do step on the court, they're fully illuminated, that it doesn't take them 5 minutes or two fouls or a quarter or sitting on the bench because they are struggling out there, but that they come ready to play. Because once they got that light full on, back up, Jones, they're on. And it, and that type of athlete is out there. It's just that coaches haven't been able to find the switch for those halogen bulbs to turn it on earlier. And that, I think, is what's missing today, you know, as far as coaches and being able to help the kids, you know, that have talent but just haven't been able to connect with the kids with the talent. Thanks for joining us. If folks listening have a question or comment on this or any other Family Sports Life Today episode, please give us a call, and we'll try to use this in the future. We're at 206-202-6224. That's 206-20-COACH.
And please visit our website, FamilySportsLifeToday.com. You can listen to this program online or subscribe and download to your iPod or other MP3 players. We have information and resources there for parents, coaches, and kids.
Thanks again for listening, and take care. Have a great day.